the Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Yeah, a couple of rockets were attempted to be fired from Gaza last night, in spite of the Israeli cabinet threatening that there will be expanded action in the event of a rocket fire. On this occasion, the rockets didn't even make it out of the Gaza Strip, so I don't think that really counts in terms of cabinet reaction. There hasn't been much IDF reaction to those.
It's like that whole thing, if a tree falls in the forest and there's no one to hear it.
Exactly. A little bit like that, although there are people to hear this one, because it falls in the Gaza Strip, which is a fairly highly populated area. I mean, that can be pretty dangerous. So, yeah, I mean, at the moment, no reaction. And lots of preparation work going on ahead of Lag BaOmer, which, of course, comes out on Thursday night, even though bonfires have been banned in many parts of Israel due to COVID restrictions. Apparently, the gathering at Har Meron, Mount Meron, is definitely underway and definitely going to be allowed.
Isn't that a bit scary? I mean, that's thousands upon thousands of people gathering in very close proximity.
Right. I mean, obviously, this is the pilgrimage to the gravesite of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, very, very traditional on Lag BaOmer. The first haircut for boys, many like to do it on Lag BaOmer at Har Meron, Mount Meron. So, yeah, a lot of arrangements being made. And, of course, falling as it does also within the Muslim holy month of Ramadan means that it's going to be a busy weekend coming up for all religions. And I think that it's actually Orthodox Easter falls also sometime over the next week or so, over the weekend. So it's going to be quite a busy time all in all, in various respects.
Yeah, it really, it'll be very busy, as you say. But let's just talk about the Israeli High Court of Justice yesterday, because they blocked an appointment of a justice minister by the cabinet. So give us some background here. Why was it blocked?
Yeah, such a crazy story. The whole thing is really crazy and lots of innuendo behind some of these actions. So let's just go back a few steps. In the coalition agreement that was entered into between Likud and Kahol Levan before the previous election, so, you know, in the 25th Knesset, I think it was, previously, it was agreed that the justice ministry would be under the control of the Blue and White Party, under the control of Kahol Levan, and not under the control of the Likud. That was part of the coalition agreement. Then what happened was the justice ministry fell vacant, and Benny Gantz, even though he was also acting in the position and still is as Minister of Defense, he was appointed temporary Minister of Justice. That temporary appointment expired on the 1st of April, and since then, we have no Minister of Justice. Not only do we not have a Minister of Justice, but there are also some very senior appointments within the ministry, Director General, some senior appointments, which also have not been made, such that the Ministry of Justice is really operating not only without a minister, but without many senior staff as well, which is obviously problematic. Now, those people who like conspiracy theories are speculating that this is something which is being done purposefully by Prime Minister Netanyahu, because he has this court case going on in the background, and that to the extent that senior people are appointed in the Ministry of Justice, there is the possibility that they may have a way of influencing the way that that court case proceeds from the point of view of the justice ministry itself, from the point of view of the way that the courts are operating, from the point of view of the way in which the prosecution is presenting its case, that those people may have some influence, and therefore the Prime Minister, according to these conspiracy theorists, has been trying his best to avoid making appointments in the Ministry of Justice. One of the consequences of the lack of a Minister of Justice is that there is nobody who is authorized to allow detainees to appear in court over Zoom rather than in person. Now, over this period of COVID, this is a very critical issue, because at the moment, detainees, even though they might not be vaccinated and even though they might even be sick with COVID, are forced to appear in court in person because there is no Minister of Justice to give the authorization for them to appear over a Zoom link. And that's really problematic. In addition to that, we also have some significant appointments that will need to be made, like a new Attorney General will need to be appointed within the near future. And we have no Minister of Justice in order to be able to do that. So on Sunday, the matter was brought before the High Court of Justice, and the court ruled that the government will be required to appoint a Minister of Justice within the next 48 hours. That was on Sunday, three days ago. Right. So the cabinet duly convened yesterday to appoint a Minister of Justice. On the agenda was the appointment of a Minister of Justice. The Blue and White Party nominated Benny Gantz to be the Minister of Justice in accordance with the coalition agreement. And that appointment was rejected, was voted against. 10 members of the Blue and White Party voted in favor, all of their members of the cabinet. 17 Likud members of the cabinet voted against. So the motion wasn't carried. And as a result of that, we still are left without a Minister of Justice. Then what happened was that the Prime Minister decided on the spur of the moment to propose a Likud person to become the Minister of Justice in the form of Likud's Ofir Akunis. And that motion was carried magically by a majority of 17 to 10, except that the Attorney General turns around and says, hang on a second, the second vote was not on the agenda. Now, the technicality is that the Prime Minister said, look, it's not a separate agenda item. This was part of the original agenda item, which was to appoint a Minister of Justice. Benny Gantz failed, so we're appointing another Minister of Justice in the form of Ofir Akunis. Well, the court yesterday, so after the cabinet, what turned out to be a very, very stormy cabinet meeting, shouting and screaming, frenzied shouting, apparently, accusations of treachery from the cabinet, really behavior which is more appropriate in a kindergarten, I would have said, than in a cabinet meeting. But apparently really, really dramatic events in the cabinet yesterday. The Attorney General went directly to the High Court of Justice to oppose, to put in place an injunction against the appointment of Ofir Akunis as the Minister of Justice. The court yesterday ruled to postpone the appointment, so they did not confirm that appointment. And apparently the court is due to rule on the issue today. So the court said, for the moment at least, Ofir Akunis' appointment as Minister of Justice is not legal and not valid, but there will be more deliberations on that today. So we look forward to seeing what our High Court is going to say about this appointment. I mean, it's just really crazy, really crazy.
It really, really is. And what is going on there is just something really that is, it's just quite remarkable. Equally so, but not in a good way either, was that Human Rights Watch has renewed its accusations of apartheid against Israel. So we, Anthony, we're going to be chatting, in fact, around about 8:30 to Human Rights Watch, as well as NGO Monitor. We're going to have them both on the line at around about 8:30 to talk this through. But I would love some context from you for our listeners and for myself ahead of that interview.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that there is context, and it's fascinating for me because this is really the first time that this US-based NGO, Human Rights Watch, has actually accused Israel of the crime of apartheid. Human Rights Watch has been around for 43 years. And of course, as its name suggests, is an organization that monitors human rights around the world. It has some special interest in Israel, as many human rights organizations seem to have, for reasons which hopefully Human Rights Watch will be able to explain to you when you speak to them a little later. But it is the first time that they've actually accused Israel of apartheid. And I'm super sensitive to this whole term and use of the word apartheid. And I've looked into it a little bit more, and it's interesting for me that actually the Rome Statute has a legal definition of apartheid. I don't know if anybody knew that, if you knew that, but in 2002, the Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court actually defined what apartheid is. And here is the definition according to the Rome Statute. It says, These are crimes against humanity, and then I quote, committed in the context of an institutionalized regime of systematic oppression and domination by one racial group over any other racial group or groups, and committed with the intention of maintaining that regime. That's the official definition of apartheid according to the 2002 Rome Statute. So as I said before, this is the first time that I've actually even come across this legal definition of apartheid, because some of us who grew up in apartheid South Africa kind of know what it means on the ground, on the streets, what it means from an everyday perspective, unfortunately. But here it is actually officially defined. So according to Human Rights Watch, they think that Israel's policies fit the bill, and in particular, what I'd like to emphasize is the last part of the official definition, which is with the intention of maintaining that regime. That's really what apartheid is about. Now, Human Rights Watch claims that, amongst other things, the law of return is something which gives rise to actions of apartheid by Israel. And so if I link the law of return to the definition of with the intention of maintaining that regime, then I really have to take issue with Human Rights Watch and their accusations of apartheid, because I don't think that there was ever an intention of instituting the law of return with the intention of maintaining a certain regime. On the contrary, when you have a look at the way that the law of return is defined, which means that any person who has one Jewish grandparent, it's not even halachically Jewish, but any person who has one Jewish grandparent, because that's the way the Nazi regime decided to persecute people who they considered to be Jewish, any person who has one Jewish grandparent is entitled to lay claim to citizenship in Israel. And according to Human Rights Watch, that is apartheid, because it means that Palestinians or non-Jews, people who do not have one Jewish grandparent, are not entitled to the same thing. And Human Rights Watch claims that the reason that this law of return has been implemented is to try to maintain our regime. So I think that you kind of understand where I'm going on this, because the law of return was clearly implemented in order to give safe haven to Jews who had nowhere else to go and live, where other countries around the world were not willing to accept homeless people, people who had suffered amazing discrimination within the context of the Holocaust. And now this is being turned by Human Rights Watch into actions of apartheid, and actually is also supported by the Israeli left-wing NGO B'Tselem, also declaring that Israel is guilty of apartheid and persecution, particularly against the Palestinians. So it's going to be interesting for me, and I'd certainly like to listen into the debate that goes on a little later. Mm. But that's the context, and you know, I would be very, very happy.
Well, it's just so interesting as well. I mean, my grandparents came from Germany, and that entitles me, in terms of German law, to retain German citizenship and return to go and to live and work in Germany at any time. So does that make, and I know that the Irish have the same type of a law, does that make any country that allows ancestral return to, does that mean that there are apartheid states?
So that's an interesting question, which I think Human Rights Watch will hopefully be able to answer. I mean, obviously, this is very much focused on racial domination by one group over another, the context of systematic oppression. That's what Human Rights Watch speaks about, a three-pronged definition, which is racial domination, systematic oppression, and inhumane acts. Now, you know, on all three counts, I would definitely take issue with the accusation of apartheid, but this is super sensitive. And, you know, I feel very, very angry when I hear these accusations of apartheid against Israel, because I think that Israel behaves on the contrary. Now, you know, in every country around the world, we're going to see acts of discrimination. That, unfortunately, is human nature. Mm. And we have laws and we have frameworks to deal with those acts of discrimination. Whenever we watch football in Europe and in the UK, we have these big armbands on their sleeves which say no to racism. So is there apartheid in football as well? I mean, we need to, you know, there is discrimination wherever we go, and we need to respond to it. But I don't think that that means that that equals apartheid, and that, you know, I take issue with that.
100%, as do I. But we are going to have that conversation a little bit later, just after 8:30. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45 for the Israel Report.